It provides the perfect segue to our next guest, who is the editor, outstanding journalist of the website ctnewsjunkie.com.
She's done a tremendous job.
She's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, Christine Stewart. Christine, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, Christine, you were the moderator of the Republican Party gubernatorial debate at RAM in Hebron on Wednesday night. My first question to you would be, what's it like moderating a debate that involves something like 150 candidates?
It is not easy. It is, I think that the debate format that they chose is actually really good for this. It does make the debate really long. Because you're giving each candidate essentially 12 minutes to say what they want to say, and then they get a 40-second rebuttal if somebody says their name and attacks them in a way. So it's not easy, but I think that Susan and I did our best to get our questions in there, and I think we asked some different questions that weren't asked at the previous debate.
This has been a morning that I didn't expect, that Dan didn't expect either, and both of us believe that President Trump has got to resign.
I know, Christine, the question of Trump was brought up at the debate about did the candidates vote for Trump. Talk about that.
Yeah, so I asked the question, did you vote for Trump? And I think that delegates to the Republican convention are going to want to know something about the candidate and whether they voted for Trump. And, we have some candidates who are running for the gubernatorial nomination on the Republican side who, essentially didn't vote in 2016. And we have other candidates who say that, they wrote in another candidate's name. And, so of the nine of the 11 candidates who were on stage on Wednesday night, five of them answered the question that they did, they did vote for the party's nominee, and four of them didn't answer the question.
Didn't answer the question?
No, they didn't. They didn't have to. So as far as this debate is concerned, we put the questions out there, and whoever wants to answer the questions can answer the questions and decide how they want to use their time.
Well, what do you, so I know that you as a reporter, you cannot, take a side here, but Dan and myself, I can't continue with this person anymore. I can't after what he did.
Yeah, I think it's an important, question to raise, and I think that I was criticized for asking the candidates even, whether they supported Trump, and I think that the candidates are going to get asked this on the campaign trail, and I think that Democrats are going to use it to attack them.
Why were you criticized for asking the question?
Oh, I was criticized for asking that question. The audience, not the candidates on stage, but the audience also booed when I asked a Me Too question. Which is another important issue as far as vetting all of these candidates, what their experience has been in the past, and how they will treat a state workforce in the future.
How did they answer the Me Too question? What were some of the answers?
Some of the answers were, they were, we had some mayors who were in charge of cities, and, Mark Loretti, who is in charge of Shelton, said, in the 26 years that he's been mayor, he's been accused of a lot of things, but sexual harassment was not one of them. Many of the men on stage have women in their lives that they care deeply about, and I think that this is an issue that impacts everybody personally.
Again, what are your thoughts this morning after hearing what hit us?
Well, I think, Christine, to actually, do you believe that there'll be some kind of reverberation in the local media today that the Republicans who are running for state office and the Democrats, will they come out and say, well, where do you stand now? What do you think of Trump's statements? Do you think we'll be hearing that today?
I think the Democrats are definitely going to use it and be asking the question. It's interesting. I don't think that I've seen the Connecticut Republican Party come out and denounce anything that this president has said. And I think that there was a little bit after Charlottesville, but there hasn't been much since then.
How much of a factor do you think Trump will play in the state elections this year? I know the Democrats are going to make it an issue, but what do you say?
So as far as Trump in these elections, like, what I see is that Trump has inspired people who normally wouldn't get into politics or wouldn't be involved in the political system to get involved for the first time. So I don't necessarily see it as people going out and rallying and organizing against Trump, so to speak. But, you know, I see that more people are involved as a result of disliking some of his policies, and, you know, how that plays out locally and at the state level comes with its own issues. I think that there's going to be a focus on, obviously, the state budget deficit.
You know, one of the things here, as far as I'm concerned, is that we're talking about people, and yes, they mentioned Haiti and they mentioned this country and that, but there are thousands and thousands of people, okay, and the way that they are going to react, I believe, is going to be not at all on the plus side for the president of the United States.
This is a huge issue for Connecticut's economy. If you look at the census numbers between 2016 and 2017, the only reason Connecticut did not lose population was because of immigration and immigrants. And immigrants who have these degrees. And I think that what happens at the federal level regarding immigration is going to have a huge impact here on the state of Connecticut. And I think that the candidates have to be conscious of that.
Christine, hang in there. We're going to get a traffic update, Brad, and then we'll have a couple of more questions for Christine Stewart. What do those roads look like, Mr. Davis?
18 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock in the morning, and let's check and see. And she is the lady. And Cindy, how's it look out there now at this hour? Good.
Well, Brad, it's not too bad. It's just volume now. 84 East is going slow through Waterbury. We're also on the brakes. Exits 41 out to I-91. Westbound 84 jams up Governor Street to Sigourney Street. Northbound 91 is heavy through Weathersfield. Southbound, it's at a crawl. Exits 38 down through I-84 to westbound. Bumper-to-bumper traffic through Glastonbury. More delays into the Founders Bridge. And if you're taking a ride on 95 North into exit 74, a crash there was cleared away in East Lyme. Metro North is on or close to schedule, and this report is brought to you by Unbound.org. We all got to where we are through hard work and a little help. Open a world of opportunity for a child or elder dreaming of a better tomorrow at Unbound.org. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 8:34 with your last traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
19 minutes after 8 o'clock, yes, and our traffic in the morning brought to you by Bouvier Insurance. Bouvier Insurance, sponsoring traffic right here. Every day on the Talk of Connecticut.
Brad Beck with Christine Stewart, ctnewsjunkie.com, and she was one of the moderators, along with Susan Raff, of the Republican Party gubernatorial debate at Ram and Hebron on Wednesday night. Peter LaMage seemed to be the focus, as if the other candidates were attacking LaMage. What can you tell us about that, Christine?
Well, I think that LaMage went on the attack with the other candidates, basically calling them all career politicians. And I think that Senator Toni Boucher, who is the only female on the stage, had a really good answer for him. She's like, no, we are politicians who have careers because it is a part-time legislature, and we all work other jobs. So I think that's something that's, a little bit unique to Connecticut. And, and I think that people stay involved in their communities because they are not full-time lawmakers. I mean, we're not paying these people anything more than, the baseline pay is $28,000 a year to continue to come up to the Capitol and to deal with our fiscal issues.
You know, one of the things that I hear a lot about, and I'm sure you do too, is our state just goes down, down, and down. And it's all to do with finances. It's all to do with money. And this has become, I think, a huge, huge issue. When do you think we can get out of the fight that we are in to restore some order to the state of Connecticut?
Or more importantly, Christine, when do the candidates who are on that stage think we can get out of that?
Yeah, so I haven't heard anybody offer any sort of real real big solutions to this problem. I don't think that getting rid of the income tax is the income tax brings in $9.5 billion a year and is 49% of the total revenue to the state of Connecticut's coffers. I don't know how you get rid of 49% of the revenue stream to the state and still maintain services. I was having a conversation the other day. So if you got rid of every executive agency except for maybe like the Department of Corrections and some of the other big ones, we're talking $600 million in a $20 billion budget. We're talking $600 million to eliminate every state agency, eliminate OPM.
So you don't think over the years then that we could eliminate the income tax?
I don't think that there is any possibility that you can eliminate the income tax. I mean, John Rowland couldn't do it. He campaigned on it, but you know, was never able to get it done.
So these candidates, like a Bob Stefanowski or Mark Mountain, who claim that they have a plan that will phase out the state income tax, what you're saying is it's not going to happen.
I doubt that it is going to happen, and I think that it's dishonest to say that they're going to be able to make it happen. Wow. Unless you find another sort of revenue stream, there's going to have to be a conversation very shortly about tolls and about increasing the gas tax in the meantime in order to keep our transportation fund solvent, because you can't go to Wall Street and bond for money with nothing in the bank.
That's right. That's explain to our audience how big of an issue that really is.
Well, it's a huge issue. I mean, we're going to be running a $38 million deficit in that in 2019 if we don't get some more money into the fund. And already, I know Malloy, with a lot of bluster, has canceled, $4.3 billion in projects that were actually underway, which has a huge impact on the economy because all these construction workers were, ready to go and starting, and some of these projects were actually in the middle of the project. So it's a big deal. He's supposed to be coming out with a solution within the next few weeks for that, but I haven't heard any of the candidates have one yet.
So again, then Connecticut, this is what's frustrating to so many people. I talk to a lot, and so does Dan. And they really do. They get frustrated, especially those that we classify as being in the middle class.
Well, it is frustrating. I mean, 49% of Connecticut's budget in 2017 was fixed cost. So where do you, it's not that there's anywhere to cut. And you also can't raise taxes because you can't risk the people at the upper end, moving out of the state. So it's going to be it's going to be hard in the middle class. The middle class is going to get squeezed here.
Christine, is Susan Bisowitz going to run for governor?
Oh yeah, she's definitely planning on running for governor. She called me the other day, and she said, "Oh, she's going to make a decision soon." But I'm going to guarantee that decision is probably yes, she's running.
Is Luke Bronin going to run for governor?
I think he is. I think that he will eventually get into the race, and I think that there's a lot of political ambition there. I'm not sure how successful any of them are. The field is way too crowded.
Do you foresee perhaps two of these candidates, like, for example, a Bisowitz and a Bronin, combining forces to hold off a Joe Ganim? Because let's face it, Ganim does control a lot of delegates.
He does control a lot of delegates, so that's really interesting. So what's interesting is there's an alternative path to the convention. So instead of going to the convention, these candidates could go out starting on May 1st until, I think, July something. They could go out and they collect signatures of 2% of the enrolled voters in their party and get on the primary ballot that way.
Do you foresee some of those candidates doing that?
I do. I think that there is going to be an effort to do that. It's an expensive way to go because you need to guarantee that the person who's signing your petition is registered with the particular party, and you need to guarantee all the signatures are accurate. So, you would need about 15,000.
Let me ask you about Joe Ganim. Do you think he has a shot there are a lot of people that think he has a pretty good shot to be governor.
I think, you know, I don't rule anything out. You know, Connecticut politics is funny that way. You know, I think he definitely has a shot. I think that his, you know, fundraising numbers show that, that he is a serious candidate. So he's raised about $200,000, and, you know, I don't think he's going away anytime soon.
Going to be interesting.
Have you ever seen anything like it in your years as a journalist?
No, I have not. I have not. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if another few people got into the race, too. Ned Lamont is out there polling, so I think that it's possible that he jumps in, too.
What about the mayor of New Britain?
I don't see that she's going to get into the race this year. I would check back with her, though, in 4 years. I think that, you know,
I think my gut feeling is that she will be governor someday. I really believe it.
But, right, no, I don't doubt it. You know, I spoke with Erin on a frequent basis when she used to work up at the state capitol for the Republicans. So I could see her running for governor someday.
What about Themis Claridis this time around?
I think if she was going to get into it, she would have already gotten in the race. So I don't think that she is. I don't think that she's going to get into it at this point.
Could she be a speaker?
Oh, she could, definitely. I mean, you know, it's a battleground state here, and, you know, there are only four votes right now. They're only four seats away from taking the majority in the House. So it's very likely that she could be Speaker.
Wow.
But we also know, Christine, you've got Art Linares, who announced he's running for treasurer, and you've got Joe Markley, who's running as a lieutenant governor. So you've got the balance of power in the Senate once again up for grabs this year.
That is true, yes. And Senator Linares would like to stay married to his wife, who is a Democratic state representative from Stanford. So one of them is going to have to give up their their district seat. You know, so I think it's going to be an interesting race in the lower ticket, too, for attorney general, for state treasurer. We haven't really seen anybody come out yet for state comptroller. We have Mark Greenberg and Kevin Limbo there.
Right.
And we have some interesting, you know, lieutenant governor candidates. We have, you know, Senator Joe Markley, who's running as lieutenant governor. And I'm sure we'll see a few others announced.
You know what's going to be interesting to see with this tremendous drive to run? It's going to be interesting to see just how the public in the end responds.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a very expensive election.
I think it's going to be a record voter turnout, even topping when yep. Candidate Obama ran the first time. I think it's going to be a record turnout.
Really? Well, it should be interesting to see, you know, what the turnout for the primary is. What, you know,
right.
Usually about 90,000 Republicans would turn out and 150,000 Democrats,
yep.
And they'll decide who goes on.
Christine, great job as always. Thanks for joining us. We love your website and we follow what you report on at ctnewsjunkie.com. Thanks for joining us this
and
morning.
And I remember when you first
Thank
started,
you.
I knew this would happen to you.
Thanks, Christine.
Thanks.
Take care.
She's done a good job.
Well, great website,
yep.
ctnewsjunkie.com.
Yep. Excellent.
First Cathedral, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. coming up next.
It is 8:30. In the morning, and we will be back.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump seems to be denying now that he used a vulgar word to describe some other countries, tweeting, "This was not the language used." There's reaction from people in those other countries to what people in a White House immigration meeting say the president said.
South Africa's ruling party calling the comments, quote, "extremely offensive."